You're listening to Spice Radio 1200 AM's The Morning Buzz with Mankiran Aujla, and today is Earth Day, a global event held annually to advocate for environmental preservation. Today we are speaking to New York best-selling author, UBC Faculty of Forestry Professor, and leading the Mother Tree Project at UBC, Dr. Suzanne Simard. And that's not all. She was recently named as one of Time Magazine's most influential people for 2024. Dr. Simard, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Oh, thank you for having me.
First off, we got to start off with the fact that you are on Time Magazine's most influential people for 2024. How does it feel?
Well, it's hard to believe, actually. I'm still trying to come to terms with it. But I think it's great that somebody who studies forests and who is an advocate for protecting and restoring our forests, for mitigating global change, is a really... It's actually an important statement about that very thing itself, not just me, but about what we can do to our forests who are, you know, calling out for us to help them.
Exactly. And, you know, Dr. Simard, I want to know, you know, what drew you to this particular area of study in the first place?
Well, I grew up in a settler family in British Columbia who were horse loggers. And we came many, many generations ago from France. And we have this long line of people who worked in the woods, who were called sawyers back in France, really peasant people. And then came over to North America in the 1600s and then basically did logging and wood cutting in Quebec and then finally in British Columbia. And so that's how I grew up, in this family who did horse logging and worked in the land. And then I became a forester thinking, wow, I'd love to continue that, my heritage. And what I learned when I got into this forestry of today is it was so different than what I'd learned from my grandparents, which was, you know, moving away from selective, very careful craftsman-like logging to wholesale commercial clear cutting. And that got me really fired up, and I've committed my life to try to, you know, improve that industrial practice, or to change it, I should say.
Mm. So this was only natural for you to go into this work, of course. But let's talk about the big discovery that you made, is that trees are able to talk to one another, which is so fascinating. So how does that work?
Well, you know, think of trees. They're in forests. Imagine you're in a forest yourself, and you're surrounded by all these trees that have been living for decades or hundreds or even thousands of years beside each other. And I came from a place where, wouldn't they, of course, be communicating with each other? So that was my null hypothesis, just because that's how I grew up, knowing forests and trees. And then I went on to I saw our forest practices as disconnecting that community, that very social forest, and ripping it apart and making these old forests into plantations where everything was so isolated and, you know, like orphan trees. And so then I started doing this research to try to discover what the linkages that I thought were being broken were. And I went below ground because I always loved to eat dirt. and I became fascinated with soil and discovered through reading the literature that there's these fungi, mycorrhizal fungi, literally fungi that live on the roots of trees, that provide the trees with nutrients and water in exchange for photosynthate. It's a symbiosis. But I figured out through my various research projects with my graduate students and myself that these trees are connected below ground by these fungal networks. They're called common mycorrhizal networks. And it's through these networks and through the soil and through the air, there's so many pathways through which trees will actually communicate. They communicate things like, you know, they send resources back and forth, like water and nitrogen and carbon. Those are the things I looked at. They send defense information chemicals that tell them about danger and defense. They recognize, you know, how related they are to each other. They do this through their root exudates. So it's a fascinating very sophisticated way that these trees actually communicate with each other.
And that was the part that was really cool, because I watched your TED Talk from 2016. You kind of talked about how, like, this network of trees is like the internet almost, right?
Yes.
Like the way they communicate and stuff. And I thought that was a really interesting way to explain it, especially someone like me who has absolutely no scientific background. I was like, this makes sense what she's doing here. And for you, you know, as a scientist, as a researcher, I mean, just to know that your work has had an impact on, you know, preserving forests, how does it feel?
Oh, well, I'm thrilled, and mostly I'm thrilled that my voice can be amplified so that we can continue to do that good work, you know, because forests around the world have been really exploited, and it's over the last couple hundred years, as population has grown, and they're the very underpinnings of our life support system. You know, they're where most of the biodiversity in the world, if you look overall, a lot of it comes from forests. They're the source of clean water in a lot of countries, Canada's especially. They're the home of many indigenous people, and they're the most biodiverse places, as I said, on Earth. And we haven't done a good job of protecting them. So I want to use this recognition to try to further that endeavor to protect and restore our forests and allow them to grow their natural life cycles and to be diverse and to store carbon and do the good things they need to solve climate change.
Mm-hmm. And that is the big issue. And you sort of almost answered my question here, but how is BC doing in terms of preserving our forests? How are we looking?
Well, you know, I would say looking backwards, we haven't done well. I think when you know, prior to colonial government or colonialism, people moving from Europe into North America, the forests were beautiful and the nations lived in balance with the forest. And then when, you know, European colonization happened, it changed into instead of attending the forest, more of an exploiting the forest. And so if we look back at that history of exploitation, what we see is that now we're in big trouble. You know, we have our forests, we've lost, you know, 97% of our tall tree ecosystems. There's only 2-3% of those big, massive trees left. And that should be a call to action in and of itself. But forests have flipped over from being sinks for CO2 to sources, and that's because they're under stress from climate change and land use management. So we can make changes to flip this around, right? To recover our forests, and so that they're sinks for carbon dioxide and solutions to climate change again. They're an absolutely crucial part of it. So I would say, yes, we have a lot of work to do, but we also have a lot of will, a lot of spirit, a lot of knowledge, a lot of agency in doing this work.
And something I want to highlight for our listeners here is you are leading the Mother Tree Project at UBC. Can you tell us a bit about that and how people can get information?
Yeah. Well, definitely you can get information. We have a website called mothertreeproject.org. This project is one of the largest climate change experiments we have in Canada and in a physical geographical area, and it's about 1,000 kilometers long. It covers a climate gradient in Douglas fir forest from dry and hot to cold and wet, with the idea that if we look at, you know, forests that are of a current climate that will be that next door forest climate in the future, we can project, you know, what best management practices would be to protect the resilience. It's called a space for time experiment. And we've been working on it for 10 years. It's a 100-year experiment, so very long term. We have many students, graduate students, postdocs working on it, many professors, all kinds of collaborators, First Nations, the forest industry, community forests, woodlots. We're all working together to try to, you know, figure out a better way forward. And a key part of that is protecting the old trees.
Yes. And even when I was reading your article for Time 100, one of the things they said here that, you know, your work is more important than ever, especially in a world today where we are seeing the effects of climate change. Here in BC, we have seen quite the wildfire season. So I want to know, what is your message for this Earth Day?
Well, I think to get engaged in what's going on in our forest. We need people, we need everybody on board in whatever way you have, whatever role you play in society, to be thinking about climate change in forests and how they can be a great solution if we protect them. And so what you can do, whatever you can do, whether you're a, you know, a teacher or a, you know, a banker or a child care worker or whatever your job is, you don't have to be a forester, but you can do your part to try to, you know, put good solutions to support good solutions. Supporting governments and MLAs who are on the right track, right, about changing from a forest exploitation model to a forest health model. That's happening in our government right now. So you can figure out these ways, you know, and the first thing is to go get connected to your local forest, fall in love with it, and then work for it, right? Work for it so that it's beautiful and it's there and it's resilient for the future. Our kids depend on it.
That's a beautiful message. And finally, Dr. Samard, before I let you go, because I do have to ask this question, a bit of a fun one here, but whenever I look your name up, I see Ted Lasso icon that pops up. And we know Ted Lasso was a huge show when it was airing and your work was referenced in it, which is huge. And my question to you is, after all these years, have you finally checked out Ted Lasso? Have you watched the show?
I have watched the show and I love the show. And I actually met Coach Beard in England when I was over at Kew Gardens, and he was lovely. He was the deep reader, and Ted as well, but they knew all about the work.
Wow.
they understood the significance of the work. It wasn't just, oh, it was a fun book to read. They understood the meaning of the work, of understanding our forests as connected systems, of, you know, that these are sophisticated places that need sophisticated tending and caring by us. So I was so proud to meet him, and he is just like he is on the show in person. We had a beer. It was wonderful.
Oh my God, that's so cool that you actually got to meet him. That is awesome. Yeah. Thank you for sharing that. Dr. Samard, thank you so much for your time. We really appreciate it. You take care.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Bye.